Thank you, everybody. My name is Wally Pion, and I am an alcoholic. My sobriety date is March 20th, 2009. My home group is the BYOC group, 7:15 a.m. in Summit. I do have a sponsor, and I'm a service sponsor. And I just want to start my prayer with this prayer that, if you don't have a handout, we have handouts here. I want to share the information with you, and we have quite a bit of information to go through today. The prayer I'm going to just say is one from Father Michael Judge, and it says this. This is mainly for me, but I'm going to share it with you. Lord, take me where you want me to go. Let me meet who you want me to meet. Tell me what you want me to say, and keep me out of your way. So, with that, I shared 3 weeks the recipe or the prescription for recovery according to Dr. Bob. Last week we discussed trust God. The second week we're going to be discussing clean house, which is really steps 4 through 9, and help others is step 10 through 12. And we're going to cover it in a pretty pattern of where it is in the big book, where is it in the 12 and 12, some main direction, some comments, and we're going to have some assignments if you want to participate at home or while you're sitting it in your chairs there. Just think about what we're going through. The refresher from the last week, I just want to give you guys a little bit more a douse of what's called common characteristics. When you start hanging out in AA and you start looking at the big book really deep down, it leads you to other places and it leads you to other things to read. And it's led me to taking a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and I try to put some of that flavor in here. So this is from a 12-step spiritual journey. At the back of it, they had a really great checklist. So in your brain, see if you're a checklist to any of these characteristics of us alcoholics. We have feelings of low self-esteem that cause us to judge ourselves and others without mercy. We cover up or compensate by trying to be perfect, taking responsibility for others, attempt to control the outcome of unpredictable events, get angry when things don't go our way, or gossip instead of confronting an issue. Should I continue, or does everybody feel that? Two, we tend to isolate ourselves and to feel uneasy around other people, especially authority figures. Also, we are approval seekers and will do anything to make people like us. We are extremely loyal, even in the face of evidence that suggests loyalty is undeserved. We are intimidated by angry people and personal criticism. This causes us to feel anxious and oversensitive. We habitually choose to have relationships with emotional and available people with addictive personalities. We are usually less attracted to healthy, caring people. Check. We live life as victims and are attracted to other victims in our love and friendship relationships. We confuse love with pity and tend to love people we pity and rescue and can rescue. Check. We are either overly responsible or very irresponsible. We try to solve others' problems or expect others to be responsible for us. This enables us to avoid looking closely at our own behavior. We feel guilty when we stand up for ourselves or feel assertive. We give in to others instead of taking care of ourselves. We deny, minimize, or repress our feelings from our traumatic childhoods. We have difficulty expressing our feelings and are unaware of the impact this has on our lives. We are dependent personalities who are terrified of rejection or abandonment. We tend to stay in jobs or relationships that are harmful to us. Our fear can either stop us from ending hurtful relationships or prevent us from entering healthy, rewarding ones. Denial, isolation, control, and misplaced guilt are symptoms of family dysfunction. Because of these behaviors, we feel hopeless and helpless. We have difficulty with intimate relationships. We feel insecure and lack trust in others. We don't have clearly defined boundaries and become enmeshed with our partner's need and emotions. We have difficulty following projects through from beginning to end. We have a strong need to be in control. We overact to change over what we don't. Overreact to change over which we have no control. We tend to be impulsive. We take action before considering alternative behaviors or possible consequences. So if you feel that these somehow emulate your characteristics, you're not alone. And you're in a very safe place, because I feel a lot of these. And I think the checklist is, have you got one of these? I think you belong maybe in a room of recovery. But the question is, what could we do to really now move it to a next phase? Because it's really important to have this higher power that we identify with, because that is going to be our dumpster. That's going to be this thing where we're going to take all these character defects, become aware of them, and dump them. And how many guys have ever had all this trash that they want to get rid of, spring cleaning, and it just piles up, and they just never go to that VNA? How many guys even put that on their taxes, that they are doing that, lying on their taxes? So now we're going to really do it legitimately for your own character defects. Give it somewhere and get rid of it. And there's a process how. And it starts with step 4. So in the big book, the reading in the big book goes from page 63 to 71. And in the 12 and 12, it's in step 4. So what I like doing is reading the summary of the 12 and 12. And then we'll go into a little bit of the big book also. If you just walked in, if you want a handout, anybody wants a handout, that's right here, if you want to follow along. So step 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. How instincts can exceed their proper function. Step 4 is an effort to discover our liabilities. Basic problem of extremes is instinctive drives. Misguided moral inventory can result in guilt, grandiosity, or blaming others. Assets can be noted with liabilities. Self-justification is dangerous. Willingness to take inventory brings light and new confidence. Step 4 is beginning of lifetime practice. Let me repeat that. Step 4 is beginning of lifetime practice. Common symptoms of emotional insecurity are worry, anger, self-pity, and depression. Inventory reviews relationships. Importance of thoroughness. So, I used to think that blame transference was a characteristic that I could put on my LinkedIn profile. Expert in blame transference. And then I got sober and started working the steps. So let's read, if you can, the section in the big book which discusses step 4 and gives us direction on page 24, paragraph 1 and 2.
64.
I'm sorry, 64. It's a Freudian slip problem. Therefore, we started upon a personal inventory. This was step 4. A business which takes no regular inventory usually goes broke. Taking a commercial inventory is a fact-finding and a fact-facing process. It is an effort to discover the truth about the stock in trade. One object is to disclose damaged or unsaleable goods, to get rid of them promptly and without regret. If the owner of the business is to be successful, he cannot fool himself about values. We did exactly the same thing with our lives. We took stock honestly. First, we searched out the flaws in our makeup, which caused our failure. Being convinced that self manifested in various ways was what had defeated us. We considered its common manifestations. So I love the rock and the ripple analogy. The rocks are dropped and there's a ripple. So what we're looking at here is looking at rocks and ripples. And in my experience of working these steps, several times myself, but also with some sponsees. These are things that I think are really important to really write out. When you say this is the action steps, why are you doing action? Because you're really sitting down and you're writing these things out. So the first thing that we look at is you kind of think about writing a paragraph or more, of course, about each person that you resent or feel that you have wronged. So resent or feel that you have wronged. And I got to tell you, the second part of this is really a little bit deeper. So when you're talking about to inspire you more about these people, there's also things in my life that I had that were so deep. It was like that movie Inception. DiCaprio couldn't get it. He'd have to go two or three layers deep, because sometimes a lie becomes the truth in my life because I'm an alcoholic. It's locked in there. So if you really think about this word, someone told me this word, and I throw it to you guys, and I want you to think about the word haunting. What haunts you? I don't know if there's anybody here that likes horror movies, but what haunts you? What is it that haunts you? And sometimes there's things that we repress and things that we need to get out. And sometimes the message we need to hear is our own. And step four is a way to do that. Whether you're writing it to yourself, but it's important that you get it out. What are these things that haunt you? Could it be an experience? Could it be a gap? Could it be something that you never had? And a lot of that is kind of what I start realizing the pattern in my life was that. I was trying to have this image. It was like the horizon. It was like this image at the end of this horizon that I always wanted to get to. But I knew I would never get to it. But even if I improve my life from, let's say, 2 to 6, I'm never going to get to 10. And I always feel lesser than that. And some people compare it to they had a parent that, let's say you ran track or you swam and you were in 5 events. And let's say you won 1 event. You ran home to tell your father or your mother, whoever it was, and you said, "I won, I can't believe it." He goes, "How many events were you in?" 5, and you only won 1? Sometimes that happens, but sometimes that happens to me in my own brain. And I'm not good enough. And I have to write about that, because I think part of that is what haunts me. Being found out, that was a big one in the old days, you know. Being found out, whatever it was my haunting. There were some interesting things. Now, all this stuff are fears, and there's a difference between fear and anxiety when you really start looking at the definition of these words. And I wrote this down. It says that, describe your fears. So, fears is an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or a threat. So, a threat, how many people ever felt threatened and it never happened? Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, and the paranoia is just there. I mean, I know paranoia is there all the time, and anxiety is a little bit different, because that's now you're getting to another level of fear. Now it's getting paranoia, and you're feeling a worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about an event or something that's going to be an uncommon, something that deals with food, money, or relationship or something. It's never happened, but we already think of this ripple is going to happen, right? So I think it's important to write about that, because when I first got here and my sponsor wrote in the book, he said, "I want you to understand that normal people, what they do, they feel things, they think about them, and then they act." I said, "The mind of an alcoholic is a little bit skewed. He feels, or she feels, and then they act. Thinking is out the window. We might replace it with one letter, you know, drink instead of think, to get the courage. The eternal elixir, the promises of vodka, you know?" The reality is that, why was there fear? Why was this fear happening? Because on the other side, and I made this analogy last week, you have fear on this side. And on the other side, there's a cliff. And on the other side is faith or trust. And what is going to get us from here over to that other side? A bridge. that maybe we don't even see yet, but it's maybe the program, maybe it's the steps, you know? And these things, to me, represent hope. But now we're past that. Now we got to get into some work. So all these things I'm telling you to do are in the big book. And I think it's really deep to understand that one of the issues when they talk about sex relations and all that, everybody's like, oh, I got to talk about sex, got to talk about her, what happened. I think it's deeper than that. I think it has to do with relationships. Why is it that I had a sponsee the other day, and the main thing is there's a pattern that's establishing here, you know? He can't hold a relationship. He's been through three marriages, and his girlfriend, he's used the name, I mean, I think he speaks French because he's used the word fiancé like it's going out of style, you know? So the reality is that what is it that he had? And when he worked the steps, I'm not saying it could happen to you, but what he started realizing is that he started realizing that there was a pattern of these things, and he was trying to fill a void. He wanted this home life that he never had. Isn't it funny? We're alcoholic. We want something we've never had, yet we judge it. Mm-hmm. We're just alcoholic, so that's kind of what happens. But there's a lot to this fourth step that everybody discovers each time. Because I'll tell you that 9 years ago when I did my first fourth step, I got to tell you this: the only person that's the same person on the list was my mother. She installed the buttons that she knows how to push. That's why. But the reality is that I look at the reasons or the circumstances for all these people 9 years ago that were on my fourth step list, and thank God for that. But it doesn't mean we're not stocking up stuff we have to work on. Because I think that some people believe that you do it once and you get a diploma, and here's my 12 steps, I already did it. It's an ongoing process, as we just read before. Where it said it before here that this is a lifetime practice. So we'll get into that a little bit. So with the fourth step, it's preparation, and you want to work the fourth step, getting into the fifth step. By the way, the word for the fourth step, if you look at it as its characteristic, is courage. So I don't know who you like in The Wizard of Oz, but the cowardly lion, right? Courage. Now, there's a lot of people that are sitting at bars right now looking at each other going, I tell you, that fourth step's a bitch. So, have courage that it takes courage to really look at yourself in the mirror and really drill down and do this. Try it out. Progress, not perfection. Step five. Let's move on to step five, which is page four of this. Step five, we're talking about integrity. Integrity. And we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. The exact nature of our wrongs. That's so huge. The fact that you say, I got a drinking issue, I have to address it, but now you're moving on to really trying to understand what's the rock in my life that created all this havoc. Because I remember when I first got sober and I didn't have a clue. I was like, 12 steps? Just give me the one that gets me my relationships back, my money back, all those. Let's go right to that one. I wanted the cliff notes. And they said, they're in order for a reason. I go, who are these people that talk? And by the way, that think is upside down, by the way. You know, there are all these signs, you know, didn't understand them. But I saw a guy, I liked his, he had these Merrells that were slipping Merrells. And he's drinking Diet Pepsi. And I said, okay, I like Diet Pepsi, I like Merrells. Maybe that guy will be my sponsor. You know, it's an inside job, but I didn't know what that meant either, you know. So I chose this guy who was a staunch big book thumper, as I mentioned a little bit last week. And I went through the book with him, and we sat down to do my fifth step. And I read all these things with the fifth step with him. And we read the 12 and 12. And he said, let's read this again. So I said, let me read this to you guys from the 12 and 12. It says, 12 steps deflate ego. And he says, define ego. So you got to define ego, whatever that is. Step 5 is difficult but necessary to sobriety and peace of mind. Confession is an ancient discipline. Without fearless admission of defects, few could stay sober. What do we receive from step 5? Beginning of a true kinship with man and God, as you understand it. Lose sense of isolation, receive forgiveness, and give it. Learn humility. Gain honesty and realism about ourselves. Necessity for complete honesty. Danger of rationalization. How to choose the person in whom to confide. Results are tranquility and consciousness of God. Let me repeat that. The results are tranquility and consciousness of God. I like those. That's kind of what I was seeking when I came into the rooms. Tranquility, you know? I don't think I have tranquility all the time, but that's kind of like serenity is one thing I didn't even understand what it. Tranquility, I can understand tranquility. The eagle has landed, you know? Results are tranquility and consciousness of God. Oneness with God and man. And man prepares us for the following steps. So, that sounds really great to me. I'm enticed. I'm ready to set this appointment up to get all that, right? You guys are too, right? Yes, of course. You guys just say yes when I say yes.
Yes,
yes. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Interaction is good. When we decide, so this is now, we're going to go into the big book a little bit. The big book, by the way, are pages 72 to 75, but I'm going to read paragraphs 1 and 2 from page 75. I got it right. When we decide who is to hear our story, we waste no time. We have a written inventory and we are prepared for a long talk. We explain to our partner that what we are about to do and why we have to do it. They should realize that we are engaged upon a life and death errand. Most people approached in this way will be glad to help. They will be honored by our confidence. So we pocket our pride and go with it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. Once we have taken this step, without withholding nothing, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The beginning that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly, but we feel that we are on the broad highway walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. Sounds pretty tranquil to me. Now, the other thing that's kind of interesting is that if you read the 12 steps, right, and you go to the 12th step and it says, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, I guess the whole purpose is to have this spiritual awakening, right? So this is kind of like we have experiences, but I think the awakening is something that you definitely will know. You'll know when it happens, you know? Am I right about that? Anybody here have spiritual awakenings in the last, minute?
Yes.
Since I've started this?
Yes. Absolutely.
Are you guys, since I started half an hour ago, has there not been any awakenings? Please. Yes, please, somebody.
Yes.
Thank you, ego. Thank you, ego. So let's talk a little bit about the warning. I'm going to tell you the warning because there's always warnings in the big book. There's this one little warning in 72. It says that on page 72, paragraph 7, there's the warning. It says, the best reason first. If we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives. Trying to avoid this humbling experience, they have turned to easier methods. Now, I'm going to just say that half measures avail you nothing, because that's in the big book. But I see it so many times that you skip over things. And even if you stop drinking, doesn't mean you're sober. And I think it's really important to realize that. You still have all these wonderful character defects. I do, definitely. They're alive and well doing push-ups in the parking lot. They're alive and well. We can't be cured. We just can't have... I can't have alcohol ever in my life. It doesn't mean I can get rid of all these things also as quickly. So it's a constant being in touch with other people that are in recovery. It's talking about spirituality, doing these things. I was just at a wedding the last couple of days, and there was no spirituality around the bar, except for the guys that said, I had one guy came up and said, take a 2018 ginger ale. And I said, that guy's got to be in recovery. Sure enough, he was a friend of Bill's, you know. We found each other, you know. And that happens to me all the time. In a room full of drinking people, you end up finding that person that's in recovery. Who knows why? Not because they're wearing triangles. It's because it's coming out of their pores, you know. So I've had the opportunity to work the fifth step with various people, and I can tell you that it's incredible the depth of the human mind, of we writing stuff, we don't, and also the mind that is guiding us while we're doing this process. Everybody's step is, everybody, what they write is different, but it's all the same. And if you do it with someone that understands what he's hearing, he realizes there is a certain amount of patterns. Some of the tips that I'll give you that are really key, and they're in the big book, is you have to think about this like, let's pretend everybody in the world is sick. Let's pretend everybody is sick. All you could do is work on your part of it. So if everybody's sick, let's say you're right, and everybody's sick, all you could work on is your side of the street. Now, with that in mind, what's your side of the street? Understanding that. So the understanding that you've gotten to this point in a relationship that has left you, a woman that has left you, several situations, I just can't stop drinking, but I also lost my job. I have a tremendous amount of debt. All these things that happen, it's a pattern that occurs. What are we trying to... Where does it stem from? It stems from something. We're trying to... I know for some people, it's finance a life that they shouldn't have because they want something. They want to look like something. Or it's trying to fill a void. I had a sponsee that he was... This guy that I call him, you know, Mr. Fiancé. So Mr. Fiancé was his issue was he wanted a relationship, and I started digging into his family dynamic, and he didn't have a father, and his life was going from foster homes to foster homes, you know. So he wanted something that he never had. It's really difficult when you're an alcoholic and you want something you don't have, right? But you try to drink your way to that place. And it doesn't work sometimes. Sometimes you end up losing everything. And the best thing that happened to him was getting sober. And now he realized that he's had another concept. The other thing he didn't have was a relationship with a higher power. And that's what he said to me, that the difference between the places that he was going spiritually was like, get dressed. We got to go to this no air conditioned place called the church. You know, here's a staple. Here's the people. But there's no air conditioning, and it's Sunday, and you have to be there because that's what faith is. You have to believe in that, and that's it. but he resented that. That was a big resentment in his life. That was a big resentment in my life as well. The difference between, for me, the resentment that I have for religion versus what I have now in spirituality is that it's a relationship I have with God. Religion is something that it's a calling and all these other things, whatever people say it is, great, I'm not going to knock it. I would say that getting sober has made me a better Catholic, but I learned about the Jesuits for me. I'm not going to say it's for everybody, but I ended up going that route because they're spiritual dudes, you know? And I think that's what I love. The love, the fact that they have a daily relationship with their higher power. And I had to get honest with myself about that because I had a resentment, but if everybody was sick, if all these nuns were crazy and they made me eat all that soap and they made me kneel on pebbles and he did all these things, if they were sick, what's my part in it? I pushed their buttons that led me to that spot. Or they just didn't know any better. I have to forgive them. So I had an issue with nuns, and it was on my resentment list for a little while, and I told my sponsor, and that was on my list, but it was just interesting because of being sober, I walked in being involved with Alcoholics Anonymous, I ended up going to an area speaking Sunday thing in Morristown. And one of the speakers was a nun. How many people have had the ability to see Sister Bruni? Mm-hmm. Sister Bruni. Unbelievable. Yeah. Sister Bruni's got the best story. She made me take my sister, my nun problem, got away. Totally, it's gone. In a poof, it was like that. And I love this woman. She got rid of that thing, and I was able. So where did I make the resentment? I had to make an amends to somebody, which we'll get to in a second. But now I had a place to go. Because she was the one that made me realize, wow, it was all me. It wasn't them, right? So it's really important that you find a really good person you could communicate that all your stuff to, because they'll realize the pattern of this, hopefully, right? So some of the things that are really key also with this fifth step is you want to go from beginning to end with your sponsor or your guide, whatever it is. It doesn't necessarily mean you've got to talk to your sponsor about this. I've worked the steps with not just my sponsor, but multiple people. And he gets it. He's an older guy. He doesn't text. He doesn't have email, you know, so can't call him after 6. So I want to say this is the big book after dusk, you know. Right now, there's no way he's here. No way. Sun's going to come down. Are you kidding me? I'm not coming to this thing. So, bless his heart, though. So the fact is that when you're doing this, after you've done this with him and you're kind of feeling like a weight's been lifted, because that's really what it is. I felt like a weight's been lifted. And every time I do it, I come to grips with it. And I don't think ahead. I stay right in the day. I stay right in the moment. And I don't know if you guys have ever sensed this thing. There's something really that you can't schedule. I'm gonna tell you what you can't schedule. You can't schedule the grace of God. You can only feel it. You can only feel the grace of God. And I sensed that many times in my life. And I can't schedule it. And I got to tell you, when I've done this stuff, I'll give you a cheesy God wink. The God wink is a coincidence, if you haven't got that already, where God reveals himself to you anonymously. The God of my understanding, right? So I'm working this step 5 with a guy, and we just spent 2-3 hours doing it. It was great. It was really a blessing to do it. And I walk out, and I'm in my car going home, and I got this book that's like one of these things where it's a daily prayer kind of thing, and you every day is a different thing. So I open it up, and it says integrity, blah 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 blah, and I'm going, we just did the fifth step, integrity. I'm like, oh. And it's because there's no question that God has a sense of humor. I don't care. He's laughing up there, you know, for me. But there he was, the word integrity. So after you do this fifth step, it's really important that the big book says that you have to go find a place where you could be quiet for an hour. That means don't go home sometimes. Right? Right? Carefully reviewing what you have done. We thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know Him better, or her better. Taking this book down from our shelf, we turn to the page which contains the 12 steps. Carefully reading the first 5 proposals, we ask if we have omitted anything. This is key, because later on you're going to need the fourth step stuff. Who'd you omit? If we're talking about patterns, you start realizing a lot of the patterns you have are, why do I keep breaking up with people? It's a relationship, fear of separation, fear of anxiety, fear of abandonment, all these things that pop up. And maybe you didn't know that going into this fourth step. So this, it means that you still have a chance to write stuff down. So you're going to write it down, and the reason is because what are the rocks that you've dropped that you want to account for later? Because they're patterns. So carefully read the 5 proposals we asked, and then also what we omitted anything. For we are building an arch, not the golden arches either, through which we shall walk a free man at last. And that's funny thing. My first sponsor said, you know, when you go through the arch, what do you got? I go, I don't know, Brooklyn? What are you talking about? He's like, no. He made all these analogies that I had to understand, didn't get it till later, the cornerstone and all that, you know. I didn't get into that with you guys. It's too much architecture. So, is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement put into the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand? A lot of analogies as far as a firm foundation. And I know, because there are guys, sometimes they make cheap sidewalks, and you know it afterwards because all the rocks come up, right? So the reality is that you know what happens if you're really skimping on your fifth step, if you really didn't fully get it out there. Because the rocks kind of pop up later. You know, that's my experience. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about the 7 deadly sins. But wait, let's talk also about what's called the heavenly virtues. Because you guys got to have a carrot. You know, I think in the past, my whole experience was, you're going to go to hell. If you don't believe this, you're going to hell. But I needed a carrot. I think they say there's the stick or the carrot. So people need the stick, but it's good to have the carrot. So I'm going to tell you the carrot and what are the shifts that we have to kind of get to. 7 deadly sins: lust, gluttony, greed, sloth, wrath, envy, and pride. Now, yes, there is a movie you could watch about this. But you'll see it's not the same we're talking about here. You're talking about Brad Pitt, yes, Morgan Freeman, all that, you know. But they didn't have the heavenly virtues, okay? So the good thing is that you have your yin and your yang. So you're looking at this side of the cliff, right? This is our fear side. And on the other side are these virtues. Chastity. Look it up. Let's not get crazy into it, but you know what's right and wrong. And gluttony, temperance, greed, charity, sloth, diligence, wrath, patience, envy, kindness, pride, humility. So everybody's got their own virtues. And I think it's important to really drill down as another assignment, what are the 7 deadly sins? What do all of these really mean? And how many of these do I have? Check, 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 check. And if you look at that, you could always look for what are the opposites of that. And it's always the good voice and the bad voice. So all we're doing is trying to identify actions that we know are completely opposite of the way we are acting. That's all we're doing. We're trying to realize what is the pattern, come to grips with it and go, oh man, that is me. I do this all the time. But the pattern I should be doing is this. And being aware of what would be the ideal. If you wear black, guess what you got to wear? Anybody?
White.
Right. Some people say gray, but that's because they're alcoholics. So the reality is that we stop fighting everyone and everything. Forget alcohol. Now it's ourselves and our character defects. Now that you've become aware of all these things about yourself and you've shared it with another, it's almost like you feel like, oh God, this weight's been lifted a little bit. And you feel like you're walking in hand, like all of a sudden I got this new connection with this dumpster company called my higher power. Mm-hmm. And I got to keep in touch with that person because now I have a place. I just dumped it all out, you know? And that's huge. How many have done the fifth step and feel like a weight's been lifted when they did it? Unbelievable, right? So, listen, I'm not lying up here, but as far as you know. These guys are lying to you as well. So I'm not alone in the lie. So we move into step six. Step six. We're entirely ready to have God, that you understand, remove all these defects of character. So why is it you can't just start getting sober, go right to six? Because you need to find out what's the God of your understanding is, right? Because how can this person you don't connect with remove, and you got to identify your defects of character. But are you ready? Well, hell yeah, I think you're ready. If you've gone through four or five, I think we're ready. But let's read on a little bit about that in the 12 and 12. They talk about that. He said, step six, necessary to spiritual growth. The beginning, another time I hear this, right? The beginning of a lifetime job. Recognition of difference between striving for objective and perfection. Why we must keep trying. Being ready is all important. Necessity of taking action. Delay is dangerous. Rebellion may be fatal. Point at which we abandon limited objectives and moves towards God's will for us. Wow. So, again, we're hearing this pattern. You see the pattern I just found? It says, beginning of a lifetime job. Wow, we just read that before. That's a little crazy. Then in the big book, on page 76, paragraph 1, lines 3 to 5, it says, are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? Are we? Yeah. Can he now take them all? Every single one of them? This is the part of where you have to identify. You have to have that dumpster company, right? Because you're ready to say, come on in, pick my crap up. If we still cling to someone, to something, we will not let go. We ask God to help us be willing. You know? And this is the stuff that you identify. So step six is really important because, and you read it in the big book, in the 12 of 12 as well, it says this is the one that separates the boys from the men and all that, because it just says, okay, now I'm going to be doing it all over again. I'm going to identify when I'm at that spot again. Now that I know, now you are going to realize that you're doing it again. Oh, sorry. I'm putting the book on that I didn't shut it down, did I? So, now when it goes back here to the assignment on this, it says, using your fourth step as a guide. But also, I would say, use the extra writing that you've done when you spent that hour or so by yourself. Have I left anything out? Because I think there's a lot of relationships that I put down on my list that came to me after the fact. So in step six, I started writing down as a guide and trying for each person to understand what was the pattern that I had. I referred to my seven deadly sins and some other things. and really start saying, what are the character defects? Because everybody was sick, but what's my part in it? And what was the pattern? And what was it derived from? And I started realizing that these are on my index cards. I started putting them down, and I started putting them in order, which are the ones that I find that I do more of. And I start paying attention to them. And I started watching them. But the good thing is that on the back of the card, I would write the virtue. So I'd kind of say, okay, if I had gluttony as my thing, right? I would write gluttony and temperance, right, on the back of it. So when I'm keeping tabs, one week I might, hey, you know what? I think I'm a little slothy this week, you know? That means slothy is that diligence. Slothy is you get up and it says, you know what? You don't have to go to the meeting today. I'm feeling a little slothy, you know? And you say, thank you for sharing. Get your ass to the meeting, you know? I don't feel like going. It's so hot. Air conditioning. Thanks for sharing, slothy. Get your ass over there, you know? But you got to account for it, because you know what? If you do it once, you get away with it, and you'll start getting a little bit more slothy, you know? I'm a pattern of slothy, but you have these index cards in front of you. And that keeps it green for me. And so prioritize your defects. And then afterwards, you start realizing that this pattern is, you're changing your habits, right? Pray for willingness to be relieved of each defect. So now you're going to get into step 7. So step 6, now you're aware. Because of step 5, you're aware of these defects of characters. You've got this list. You've got these defects. You've got these cards now. These are all action things you have to do. You just can't go to a big book meeting and do these things. You have to do them for yourself. And then you got to do something else, slothies. You got to make the appointment with your sponsor to do the 5th step. That's the biggest slothy thing to do. How many people delayed their 5th step date? Anybody here? Oh, you guys are perfect. Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. Slothies, yeah. Yeah. I had a guy I gave him 3 strikes. The last time, I said, that's it, man. You're going to have to find someone else. And you know what he said to me? He goes, you know, I knew you were going to do that to me. He said, I knew you were going to do that to me. He was trying to get away with it. So I fired him. And then he fought. And I said, okay, here's the schedule. If you don't keep it one time, it's over. Right? And he was grateful for me for that. Sometimes you need the stick, but sometimes the carrot, you know? But I know I did. All right, so let's talk about, by the way, just as a quick note, step 6 is willingness, right? So that characteristic of willingness. And sometimes you talk a lot about, in meetings, they have meetings on willingness. And the willingness is really, some people talk about the first step, the willingness to get sober, as opposed to the, which I think that's more acceptance than willingness. But I think the willingness to now not just admit that you're drunk, and your life became unmanageable, but I think the willingness to go down that road to find out what else are you. Because you really had a control issue. The control issue of controlling everyone else's life and everybody's wreckage, and the wreckage that I had, because nothing gets everybody into the rooms of AA, because you know what? Everything's great. Sometimes people say getting to AA is like going to see a lawyer. No one goes to see a lawyer because everything's great. Right? Unless they're your friend. But then watch out, because I've gotten a couple bills from friends of mine too. So we end up in the rooms because of... But now to work the steps and really work on yourself is willingness. And I love that. So once you understand the character defects, you move on to step 7, which is the... humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Again, we're back to, if you don't have a him or a power, who are you going to give this to? That's why steps 1, 2, and 3 are so important. And if you have a problem with the higher power, something led you to this room that said your life's unmanageable. Whatever that is, the voice, the liver, the lover, the lawyer, whatever it is that led you here, identify what that higher power is, because that's who you're going to say, remove these shortcomings from me that I know. By the way, what do you think the difference between a defect of character and a shortcoming is? Nothing. This is just him getting fancy, Bill Wilson, with a thesaurus and saying, we got to just change the word. We want it to be, you know, a little different. But we talk about humility here. And in the 12 and 12, when we read step 7, we're just going to say, what could it mean to us? I'm going to skip over reading that because I know we're limited for time. So here you're looking at the seventh step prayer. My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you remove from me every defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go from here to do your bidding. Amen. And we have completed step 7. Hard stop in a second. When we move to 8, I just want to share this with you guys. You have the list. We review the list. But the thing about 8 and 9 that's different is that you're writing the script. You're writing a script that you're going to maybe deliver or never deliver. And it's really important that you write this list. And sometimes it's to people that are dead. Sometimes it's to people that you're never going to tell. But you need to do it. And the willingness is definitely here too. And you write this letter that never gets received. You do the letter. This 8 is for you. It's for you. And you plan out who's going to get it or not. And you move into step 9. And step 8 is the willingness. Step 9 is just saying direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Very important. With your sponsor, with the person that's guided you through, you work down the list of, you go through the script that you're writing. And what you want to do, you're with your fellows and repairing all this damage of the past. You have a difference between regret and the word sorry. You know what that is? How many times did you come out of a blackout and say, oh, I'm sorry for what I did last night? Regret is something that you've evaluated. You've written on step 8 and other things in the past, these things that you've been watching and observing in your life that have been character defects that you're trying to improve. So it's really important that you really regret what you did and you have a script to that nature. But the second part of this step 9 is this. You have to be willing to say, and what could I do to make it up to you? A lot of people forget that. It's really important to say, what could I do to make it up to you? And you have to pretty much do it if it's not illegal. You don't make those terms up, in my opinion. I think you're going to have them say. Some people will say nothing. Don't worry about it. So it's really important to have these steps in your life. And I'm going to review them next week when we talk about helping others. But 4 through 9 are the action steps. And it's just a little taste that I've given you on these things that are just my experience. And are just key points on them. And there's readings there that you could refer to. And with that, we're out of time for this week. That's all I have today.